and welcome to another edition of the Hoop Jack podcast series. I am your host, Chris Armistead, and with me is my man, Jay. How you been, my man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm actually out here in Philly now. I think the last time you had me on, I was either in Raleigh or Virginia.
So now you in West Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah, I can see all the buildings downtown from my balcony right now.
Awesome, man. Yeah, it's been a while since we've done a show. It's been a while since you've been on. I know it's been a hot minute.
So. I think it's been a year almost to the day because you had me on when we had my buddy Austin from Australia, and that was on my Facebook memories, I think, yesterday or today.
A year? Man, that feels like that was a year ago? Man, that's
it's
crazy.
It's been about a year.
Gosh, that's crazy. I've seen you from time to time, but just been busy. And then with everything else going on, I've been very distant from the show. I've been trying to, here and there, get back to it. But a couple quick side notes before we get into our main topics. Two things involving Kobe and the Mamba name, affiliation. One is that Nike is unveiling new Kobe shoes on August 23rd of 23. They're gonna be called Halo. Now, I don't own a pair of Kobe's, and I wish I did, but I'm glad that they're bringing them back after what it's been like 3 years since they've just stalled on releasing Kobe's. But at the same time, what's that going to look like for future shoes that come with, with the name and Mamba and everything like that, with Mamba and I guess the Mambacita that they had a special release on that only very few people have.
Now, is that the all white shoe?
Yes, that's going to be the all white shoe. They called it Halo.
I'm looking at it now. It's pretty clean. I'm not going to lie.
It's clean. I don't like it because one spill, that's it.
But it's probably just going to be more like a collector shoe, though, don't you think? Like, people are probably not going to wear this out.
I have seen new, there were Team USA Kobe's, red, white, and blues. They look really nice. But as far as we know right now, there are no new releases other than the Halos coming out, which I believe, like we had talked about, they're the all white. And then the other thing regarding Kobe and the Mamba program is that Kentucky has been selected as the first college and university program, their basketball program, to be a part of the Mamba program. So they'll be endowed with pretty much all Kobe shoes and, the support. I mean, kind of like how Michigan was with the Jordan brand, Kentucky now has the Mamba program. Now, I'm not going to lie, Kentucky would have been my second choice. Number one would have been Duke, but Coach K not being a Duke would have been number one with Calipari.
Yeah, Coach K, with him and Kobe had that Team USA relationship. I could see that being a good fit for a Mamba school.
Which, yeah, and it stinks that Duke wasn't that pick, but with Kentucky still has a great basketball program that's flourished through almost a couple of decades now, especially with the one and done program. But it'll be interesting to see who the next university would be to land the Mamba program. My guess would be at least a basketball decent school like Kansas or Indiana. Kansas, really.
Yeah, I could see it probably being Kansas. And it's going to have to be one of those, like, perennial power schools.
It's got to be a perennial power school, Power Five, one that's gone to the NCAA tournament every year for at least 10 to 15 years. At least some form of a national championship.
Definitely not going to be my Mountaineers.
No.
Unfortunately not. I don't foresee the Kobe brand.
Unfortunately not.
Picking West Virginia.
No, I don't see it either.
Man, before we get into it, I want to, like, can we chat TBT for a second?
Man.
Dude, I got to go to a game.
Dude, I can't believe you got to go to a game. I was so freaking jealous, man. That's not even freaking fair.
So Stevie,
the fact that heard that made it to the Final Four,
and the fact that it was in, dude, it was lit to be like, I was kind of on the fence. I hadn't watched the game yet during the TBT this year.
I thought the rival, and I can't believe the rivalry is still pretty good with Best Virginia versus Heard That.
Yeah, when Heard That won, dude, they were talking. I'm surprised they won, but they're pretty nice. Like, Stevie is a baller. Like,
well, you knew
overseas pro, and he didn't even play.
Form was gonna light it up too.
That team that they played, that was it Heartfire?
Yeah, Heartfire, who ended up winning the whole thing.
Dude, they're big. Like, you know that 6'10" is tall, but when you see 6'10",
when you see it, it's like, yeah, it's really tall.
But yeah, man, my guy Stevie, we went to high school together. I saw that the semifinals and the finals were in Philly, and I just sent him a message. I was like, bro, where can I get a ticket? And he said, just stop by Will Call. They've got your name on them.
Oh my God.
The man had me sitting courtside.
Man, you were sitting courtside at that? Gosh. If only I was in Vegas right now, I would have a connect for Slam Ball.
And, you know, we talked probably like 2 years ago that Slam Ball is one we would bring back.
And it did. And it finally came back. And one of the guys who I had interviewed made one of the teams for Slam Ball. And I'm not in Vegas.
That's pretty sweet.
Seeing it. Shout out to Mike Kalawi. I know he's going through injury right now, but he made one of the Slam Ball teams, man. And listening to like Marshawn Lynch do play by play on Slam Ball is hilarious.
You saw his failed dunk, right?
Yes.
Oh man. But Slam Ball is a blast. I can't wait to start watching it.
A decent comeback. And it's at a perfect time too, where there's not really, you're only doing preseason football and there's baseball and there's not a whole lot else.
And that Elam ending, to experience that vibe and environment in person, that's next level.
Because everyone's so excited, like they're that right there. It's do or die. It's like when you play 21 and somebody has 18 or 19 and like they're like, don't shoot a three.
And then you got some guy who just jacks one up and banks it in. It happened right in front of me too.
but it was
unbelievable.
I'm glad TBT and Slam Ball has made that comeback. Before we go into one of the bigger stories that has probably, it wasn't really a surprise, but it's more or less, it's sad to hear. We'll go through. Untold has come out with season 3. They're coming out with 4 new documentaries. 3 of them have already come out. The fourth one comes out next Tuesday, the 22nd of August. The first 3 that have come out in this order is Jake Paul and the Problem Child, which chronicles Jake and Logan Paul, their stardom on YouTube, Vine, and then eventually them having their problems as well through social media and everything like that. And I think I don't know if they were part of the Team 10 house or whatever. But then Jake Paul started getting into boxing and then being somewhat of his own promoter and kind of rekindling the concept of with the idea of social media and people can make more money off of it. Now, I'm not saying what he's doing is that, like, what he's doing is actually shining a light towards people being their own promoter, because back in the day, Don King was probably the gold standard of promoters for boxers.
Yeah, he's probably the most notorious promoter.
Most notorious promoter in all of fighting was Don King. And if you had Don King in your right corner, you were making money.
I don't really follow like combat sports. Like, I never really watch it. I'll watch a fight if it's on, but when you said Don King, I was like, yeah, boxing promoter. Yeah.
But Jake Paul has made a lot of attention. I think his people don't take him seriously because of his past. I think, and I had seen this quote earlier, resumes don't define who you are. And I think people gotta realize that Jake Paul is putting in the work.
Yeah, he's putting in a lot of work.
And he lives it. Like, he's doing all this work. He's putting it in. I think he's 6-1 right now. The only loss was to Fury. I believe last fight was Fury, but it was like a split decision too. It wasn't a unanimous decision. So that one was interesting. And then the next one, I had called this on what the title would be. I called it. It is Johnny Football, about Johnny Manziel, because I had said, I had seen the preview, and I'm like, this has got to be called Johnny Football. They can't call it anything else. The only other thing you could call it would be Rise and Fall of the 12th Man.
That's a name. That's a name, dude. That's good.
The title?
Yeah.
I mean, it would work. It would work. But Johnny Football, that was his name. The money signs. And what's interesting is I connected this story to the previous year when they did The Girlfriend Who Didn't Exist on Manti Te'o.
Yep.
I laugh at journalism because nobody got it right.
How?
Journalism in 2012 was terrible. Like, how did nobody pick up that Johnny Manziel didn't come from oil money? Like, they threw that lie out there and people hooked, lined, and sinkered it. Nobody did the research.
Now, the only one of these that I've seen, I did watch the Manti Te'o one.
Yeah.
And I did watch Johnny Football like Sunday or Monday. I watched Johnny Football. Have you seen it yet?
I have seen it. Like, I laugh because it's like he had zero time on iPad looking at
you. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I don't think he didn't. I don't think he wanted it. I think it was everything going on in college. I think what he really wanted was to not stand out. If he had not stood out in the way that he did, he might have been a decent quarterback.
I think he wanted what came along with it. He just didn't want the football anymore.
He didn't want
that lifestyle
without doing the work to get that lifestyle.
Correct. I think that's probably what he wanted.
And this last one that just came out, it came out literally yesterday, called Hall of Shame. It's about the whole doping and performance-enhancing drug scandal within a lot of sports. And specifically, it came to three players, but it started talking about Balco, and Balco was the Bay Area Laboratory Cooperative, which was, I guess that's how they wanted to do Balco. And then in 2002, the U.S. federal government investigated it because of all the players that it had. It was mainly with four major athletes. I want to see if you can name at least two of them.
What? I'm gonna go ahead and not pretend to be like a guru and a know-it-all. I've got it pulled up. I know, okay. Like Bonds obviously had to be on here,
but
I'm seeing like Marion Jones and Tim Montgomery. Those names don't ring a bell to me.
Marion Jones was a very high-profile Olympic runner.
Yep, that's right.
From the U.S. Olympics, and when she got caught. I mean, it was the same thing with Ben Johnson back in like the 8 and when he ran against Carl Lewis, and Marion Jones was the same thing back in the 2000s. As well with Tim Montgomery, who they did interview in the on the documentary. Jason Giambi was another one.
Yeah,
ended up doing that. The ones they don't list, which ended up having doping scandals, were Sammy Sosa and Mark McGuire. Which everyone knew they were juicing.
Yeah. And
Bill Romanowski, two-time All-Pro linebacker, 16-year NFL vet. Because what the interesting is, it was the zinc supplement ZMA, but under the table they were still having that idea of still selling something that wouldn't be detected. And I'm not saying it's better now because there's still people who do, you know, performance enhancing drugs. But they're a lot slicker nowadays. It's easier to fight.
People are always going to find a way to cheat the system. They're going to cheat the test. They're going to find whatever they can to get that competitive edge. And eventually they're all going to get caught. Like, you can't. If you do the same thing, you're going to get caught.
Eventually. But what's interesting is the science behind it all, and just the fact that if you, like, say you're a runner and you do a you won like a 10-second 100-meter dash, you don't do doping. You can get 100. You do doping. You don't do any doping or performance-enhancing drugs. You can run it in 10 seconds. But if you decide to take, you know, a performance-enhancing drug, you could probably run that in about 9.8, 9.7. You're shaving 0.3 seconds. Was about an extra stride and a half.
Yeah.
And that's insane. That it's an extra stride and a half. But you also see it with bodybuilders when they would do like those giant competitions and everything like that. That was like the requirement. You took performance enhancers to look bigger and try to, you know, show out.
What is it? That Liver King?
Gosh.
That like big jacked, huge beard guy on TikTok?
Yeah.
The straight juicing.
He even admitted he was straight juicing.
Yeah.
Then the last one that's coming out next Tuesday is called Swamp Kings, about, and this is going to be my favorite one, other than probably Johnny Football, is about the 2000s Florida Gators team with head coach Urban Meyer and quarterback Tim Tebow. That one's going to be amazing.
Think about that roster too, though.
That roster was insane. But the only roster I think people forget that, and this is where it bugs me, the best team in college football. I rank that Florida Gators squad at least in the top four.
Yeah, but like obviously you've got that Miami Hurricanes team.
2000-2001, that's unbeatable. Mm-hmm. No one can beat that with that roster that they had. And they had depth too. You look at that depth chart, you had guys who were backups who were NFL material.
You had backups on that team that are going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yes. I think what? Frank Gore, Willis McGahee.
Frank Gore and Willis McGahee on the same team.
At least on the same team. And they were the backup at one point.
Yeah. And then that defense.
Oh, gosh. Ed Reed.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Sean Taylor. Rest in peace, Sean Taylor.
Yeah, that team was just nasty.
That team was filthy, but even that Florida team, bro, that Florida team, and then, you know, you had Aaron Hernandez on that team.
Was Cam Newton on that team, or do I have my years wrong? Was he a backup?
He was a backup at that point,
yeah.
Florida, until he switched to Auburn. I remember that, because he started at Florida, but he was the backup, so I do think he was the backup to Tebow.
I'm trying to pull up that whole roster here.
But it's insane. It's just crazy to think the kind of talent. And then here's my thing. And I've talked about this before. Untold has done some amazing stories. And if I had to give my top three, this is not in any order. If I had to go from one from each season, I think my number one would probably be Breaking Point. It's the story of Marty Fish.
I've not seen that one, but I did love Marty Fish.
But it talks
amazing
about
amazing doubles player.
Him dealing with you know, his mental health and just everything like that. That one was really good for me. Season two, I have to go with, gosh, because there's two. Because The Girlfriend Who Didn't Exist was a two-parter. That's the irony, was it was a two-parter. And I love the rise and fall of And One.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was up to me, my season two favorite was Operation Flick Bow.
Yep.
Involving Tim Donaghy. Because they go into one of the worst officiated games in basketball history. It was game seven of the 2002 Western Conference Finals between the Kings and the Lakers, which they said was the worst officiated game in basketball history.
I could see that, yeah. But I agree. Operation Flagrant Foul was a good one.
And then season three right now, it probably is Johnny Football, just because you kind of see how much BS it was to kind of get away with.
And it's eye-opening.
It's eye-opening because it's also the fact that it was the NCAA making all these rules that now, you know, players profit, but It's a double-edged sword with the NIL, and I hate it. I hate it because people don't want to work hard for more. They want to work hard for what they just want to have what they have now. Kind of ruins that, you know, competitiveness.
And while we're on the subject of, I know it's irrelevant to Untold, we're on the subject of college sports. I think this season of the women's college basketball, I think will be the defining moment. The whole Caitlin Clark, Haley Van Lith, Angel Reese, like that trio of women are going to save women's basketball.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Iowa and LSU made it relevant. Virginia Tech made it relevant too. That crew went really far.
I love UConn and here's I love basketball, but I did not watch the men's championship.
So UConn did it first, then South Carolina, and now it's LSU.
Yeah, I didn't watch the men's championship game, but I was glued to my TV watching Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese.
That was great. That was a great game. And it was two different storylines.
Yeah.
It was great.
And then when you add Haley Van Lith to that LSU team come up this season.
That's not even fair.
They might not lose they might not lose a quarter, let alone a game.
They go undefeated. We might see an undefeated season, and we haven't seen that since probably a few years.
Probably what? Brittany Griner with Baylor?
Was that the last? Wasn't it South Carolina? Didn't they go undefeated? Or Mississippi State? Didn't they go undefeated? Didn't one of them go undefeated?
Let me see here.
I swear one of them went undefeated recently. I thought it was South Carolina.
I'm thinking the last one to do it was 15-16 UConn.
They were the last before they lost?
Breonna Stewart. And 2013-14 UConn, 15-16 UConn, 11-12 Baylor, so 9-10 UConn. UConn's like the entire list.
UConn's the whole list because they went like, 128 before they lost?
Yeah. And we get Paige Beckers back this season, too.
Oh, man.
So UConn will be right there in the mix. LSU is going to be right there in the mix. Iowa is going to be right there in the mix.
South Carolina still, Mississippi State. Yeah. Virginia Tech should still be in that mix. I don't think they really graduated nobody. Or transferred, really.
It's going to be a really, really nice season for women's college basketball.
I know. So we're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we have more current events up on the way. So stay tuned. Welcome back, guys, and one of the biggest stories that's come out recently, but it's sad to see it because this is one of my favorite movies. One of my favorite sports movies, it was The Blind Side, because I love the story of Michael Oren. I knew that it wasn't like the true story, but recently the Tuohy family, Michael Oren, been in the news about, you know, the Tuohys kind of making an investment. And what's funny is I saw this on Barstool Sports, and they said that the only true thing about that movie was the investigator interviewing Michael Orr about what the Tuohys were actually planning. And I was like, that's hilarious.
If there's truth to what Michael Orr is saying, it's awful.
It is.
What they did to him. Like, yeah, they saved him from a life that he, like, didn't deserve, like, the struggles he was going through.
Took all his money.
But to take advantage of him like that is awful.
And imagine if it was in the time of the NIL. They'd have really walked away with his money. And I hate it because you thought it was a great story and you just thought they did something to care. But in the end, you know, it was just a family taking advantage of an innocent person.
It's terrible what they've done. What he's saying they've done. Obviously, I don't want to, you know, be the judge and the jury on it and say they're guilty and all that. But if they did what he said they've done, then, like, shame on them.
I mean, here's the whole concern that I have with it is because they had interviewed the youngest boy, Sean Colby. And he even says, like, this has been, like, years in the making because of everything. And I think this was true. I think it had been mentioned, but it hadn't been this overly reported. I remember it being a small claim because of, you know, some stuff happening with his and when he had retired. I think he's retired right now.
You know, all the interview that I think it was Barstool did with was it SJ?
Yeah, it was.
That was. This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Because he even said it, with SJ, they said it was like a small thing, and then now it's gotten bigger, and everything going at that. And what's even more upsetting is that now they're going after the people who did the movie. They're going after like Sandra Bullock and all of that. And I'm like, why are you going after people who just reenacted?
They're gonna go after as many people as possible, or he's gonna do it to make sure like someone is gonna take the fall and he's gonna get paid.
I think you should go more towards the family than, and maybe at least some credits for the movie, but not shame. Like, you can't really shame Sandra Bullock for something if she didn't know. Or the actor who played Michael Ward, he didn't know. There's a fine line that you gotta, you know. There's a fine line, I guess.
Like I said, he's gonna throw it up against the wall and see what sticks.
That's basically.
If he names enough people, someone's gonna take something.
Someone's gonna take something. But it's sad to see it because you just hope at the end of the day he gets restitution for everything that he's put into. 16 years in the NFL. Like, that's crazy.
I hope he gets something out of it.
There's some for him. He played with the Ravens, the Panthers, and the Titans. Did he win a Super Bowl? I don't know if he did.
Maybe with the Ravens?
Did he win with the Ravens, or was he there with the Panthers?
Let's see. He was a member of the team that won.
Oh, he won. It was with the Ravens because it was the Harbaugh. John Harbaugh and the Harbaughs were both in it. It was the Ravens and the Niners.
Yep.
His one Super Bowl. Which would have been... Yeah. Ray Lewis. That was Ray Lewis's last year, too.
Yeah. That was his retirement party.
And the last thing before we go is, you know, we gotta preview how... Alright, so my team is the Colts. Jake, what was your team?
I'm a Jets fan, man.
I
got a new set of golf clubs behind me because I got to do a work event on Monday, and I used that as an excuse to upgrade my clubs. And my towel is a New York Jets towel, baby.
Oh, jeez. We
stink, but...
We can go over the schedule if you want, because we'll go over mine, too. I guess we'll first start off with the New York Jets. Now... who knows? Maybe Rodgers will be decent. All right, let's start week one. You're home at MetLife Stadium versus the Bills. So
we're going to lose that one.
All right, 0-1. Next week, you're at Dallas.
We're not losing to Dallas.
All right, so now you're 1-1. And you're at home versus the Patriots.
We'll beat the Patriots.
You should win that one. Then you're home again versus the Chiefs.
No shot.
2-2. You're at...
No, I'm sorry. We'll beat the Chiefs.
You think you'll beat the Chiefs?
At home, I'm going to say we beat
at
the
home?
Chiefs. I'm going to call... I'm calling it. Upset alert, October 1st. I think we beat the Chiefs.
3-1 right now. All right, you're at Denver.
I think we'll win that one.
At 4-1, you're away... You're at home versus the Eagles.
I don't think we win that one.
I don't think you're winning this one. What are you, 4-2 right now?
Yep. Yeah.
Week 7's a bye week. Then you're at home, but you're playing against your next door neighbor, the Giants.
We beat the Giants.
All right. What is that? 5-2.
Then home, we got the Chargers.
Home versus the Chargers.
I think we'll win that one.
6-2. You're at Vegas to play the Raiders.
I'm gonna say we lose this one.
6-3. You're at Buffalo. You're not at home.
We lose against Buffalo, too.
6-4. You're At home versus the Dolphins.
Yeah, we'll win that one.
7-4. The Falcons.
I think we can beat the Falcons.
8-4. Texans.
I think we'll beat the Texans.
9-4. Right? 9-4, yeah. Dolphins again, but you're at Miami.
I think we'll beat Miami.
10-4. The Commanders.
Yeah, I think we win that one too.
11-4. At Cleveland.
And we're beating Cleveland too.
Is that 12-4?
And then we'll end the season with a loss against the Patriots.
12-5. You think you're gonna go 12-5?
Yes, Aaron Rodgers is going to take the Jets to the playoffs.
12-5. That'll be the only thing that's stopping you from winning the division right now is probably Buffalo. You probably get a wild card spot.
Yeah, and I'll take it. I'll take a playoff run from the Jets this year.
Gosh, I don't even want to look at the schedule. All right, let's do the Colts.
Let me pull them up.
Oh, gosh. Already looked at the schedule. I'm not happy on that.
All right. Week one against the Texans.
No, you're week one against
Jags.
Jacksonville. I think this is where it's tough. Can we beat T-Law? I mean, if our defense holds up, I think we can. I say we win week one.
Who do you guys have at the quarterback?
We're starting the rookie. The rookie's
First game.
Rookie is getting the start. We're Hayes at home. That's why I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. We'll win the first game at home.
Okay.
Now here's my thing. If Jonathan Taylor freaking plays, we have a chance.
He's still holding out, right?
Yeah. Mm. And we don't really – I think – who's our backup? Hines? No. Is Hines our backup? That's what concerns me. I gotta go look at this roster.
Colts running back depth chart. Let's see here.
Look at this roster real quick. Depth chart. Offense. Let's see. We still have Pittman. We have Quentin Nelson still, so we have a good left guard. Running back is still Jonathan Taylor. If not, we have Zach Moss, who had a decent year.
He's questionable, though. He's already listed as questionable on the depth chart. Zach Moss. Jonathan Taylor's listed as out.
Yeah, that makes sense. So
I don't know. You actually have a, like, based on the name, you've got a pretty good quarterback depth chart. Gardner Minshew as your second string.
And Sam Ellinger.
I hate to say a good thing about Sam Ellinger because horns down. Right. But he's a dog.
I mean, and then I look at our wide receivers. Isaiah McKenzie, Alec Pierce, Michael Pittman. If everyone can do their job, at least tight end, we still got Alec Cox, so I'm not worried.
And you know, your second string wide receivers, Mike Stratton. I went to college with him. He's a Mountain East alum.
Mountain East alum, and he's second string. I'll take that.
Yeah. That dude can fly.
So here's the thing. I think. All right, so we went week one was the win. Week two,
you got the Texans.
Gosh. I don't really have faith in the Texans right now. I say we win at NRG.
Week three, you got the Ravens.
No, we're losing.
Mm-hmm.
We're losing week three.
Week four, you got the Rams.
Here's the thing. The Rams used to be good. Are they in that better shape now?
I don't know if they are.
I'd say we win week four.
And then week five, you got the Titans.
This is where it concerns me because that's the only division, rival that we really have right now. I think here's what I'm going to say. We'll split. So I say we'll win the one at home, but we'll lose the one away.
That's respectable.
Say we'll win week 5, so we're at what, 4-1?
Then Jaguars again.
Say we clean sweep them. I say we can sweep them.
And then you got the Browns after that.
We win.
Saints.
We might lose that one. I would say we might lose that one. I say we might lose the next 2 out of 3. We'll lose to New Orleans and Carolina.
And you think you can beat the Patriots?
But then we can beat the Patriots.
Okay. And then you got, hopefully he's still the starting quarterback.
No.
Baker Mayfield and the Bucks.
No, we'll probably still lose to Tampa. We'll probably still lose. We'll lose to Tampa. We'll lose to Tennessee. And we'll lose to Cincinnati.
That's a tough schedule.
That's a tough 3 in a row, too. And then the last 4. The last 4 is tricky.
I think you can beat the Steelers.
I think we can beat the Steelers and we beat the Texans. Can we beat the Falcons? With Mariota as their quarterback. That's the questionable
part. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one.
I think, because we're definitely losing to the Raiders. We're not going to beat the Raiders. We're not. There ain't no way in hell. Not unless Derek Carr screws it up that bad.
Man, I had the only time I've done fantasy football, I had Derek Carr as my quarterback, and he did nothing but let me down. And then you got to finish against the Texans.
I say we win. I say, well, we're going to be 1-1, 2-1, 3-1, 3-2, 3-3, 3-4, 4-4, 4-5, 4-6, 4-7. No, hold on. So we finished the year at 10-7.
That's a win. If you finish at 10-7,
like, with a rookie quarterback, that's a win. That might not be a playoff spot, but that'll be a win in my book. We might not win it'll come down to the division race. We could still try to squeeze in a wild card, but that's a really tough one.
Even if you don't make the playoffs, rookie quarterback, 10-7, I think that's a good season.
That's a good season. 10-7 being realistic. If we even if it's even, I'll take it.
Yeah.
As long as we don't, like, only win 4-4. I'll take 5 wins. 5 wins would be great. Not ideal, but for a rookie quarterback, I'll take it. All right, so as we wrap up the show, I want to thank everyone for continuing to listen. Just moving on until we're right around the corner towards college sports season is underway. We got college football right around the corner, man.
I've already got tickets locked in this time next month.
Where you go?
Your boy will be in Morgantown, West Virginia for WVU Pittsburgh.
Ooh, that'll be a great game.
We locked in a hotel a few months ago. My brother got the tickets as soon as they opened. We're going.
I want to try to see if I can, because I don't want to really, I want to go to like a Power 5. What would be close by, I guess? Tech?
Tech would be your closest one.
Tech would be the closest one. But prices like that would be expensive.
Yeah, but you got what? You got a few schools near you. Smaller D1 and D2, right?
ODU, and I've been to an ODU game. It's not as big as Wynn.
I always forget ODU is right there.
Heineke was there, but... because I look at their schedule, they're at home versus ODU, which ODU could win that game, to be honest with you. Oh, that would be a really good one to go see. If you're in Huntington on the 23rd of September, guess who's going to play Marshall?
Mm. I have no idea. Who do they have?
Tech will be at Marshall.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a homecoming game for Tech's quarterback too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he might show out that game.
Yeah. They're home against ODU, they're home against Purdue, they're at Rutgers, they're at Florida State, they're at Louisville, Boston College, and their last game of the year is at UVA. I don't know. That'd be great to kind of see. But who knows, right? But, yeah, so thank you guys for continuing to check into the show. Make sure to keep checking this out. Check out our sponsors with Boosted Biz, Shop GLD, Moolah Kicks, Kenichi Bear. I know I've been, you know, really stagnant on episodes, just a lot going on, and I want to strive to do a lot more, at least weekly. You know, Jake, if you're interested in coming back, we could try to reset the schedule and everything like that.
Man, I'm here for you anytime you want me.
All right.
You'd be surprised how much free time a divorce will give a man. So
hey,
I'm here all the time. I'm preaching at the choir.
You're preaching at the choir, bro.
Man, I got nothing but time. Work like a dog. I would enjoy a free hour a week.
Oh, you're telling me, man. We're both preaching to the choir at this point in our lives, right? But continue to keep checking out for new episodes every week. We're going to try to get back rolling with it. I know we're close to the end of the year. We're trying to get more Hooper profiles out there. So be sure to get on the lookout, all right? And remember, don't be a bystander. Be a Hooper and keep balling. Peace.